Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Luther.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features for free, so enjoy those on us. And that's freetalklive.com. Last hour, for those of you just tuning in, we shared a alarmist story from one of my favorite websites, homelandstupidity.us. Normally there's some really great stories there. This one was pretty fear-mongering about the idea that there may be a food crisis coming soon, like within 2 months, according to the story, here in America. And they went over various different economic reasons. Apparently 2009 was a real bad year for farmers. Weather-wise, crop shortages, things like that. There's also economic factors. As Frank was telling us from New York, he believes that the situation is that China owns futures on food, and so therefore the food that's produced during a shortage would have to be sent to China first. And, of course, we talked about how we thought the black market would be able, even if all these things were true and that things were really dire, that the black market would step in. I tend to believe that the marketplace can handle, you know, dips and things like that fairly effectively. People will have to cut back if things like this, if a shortage does occur, people will have to be a little more choosy about what they eat. They'll have to be a little smarter about what they buy. They'll have to be a little bit smarter with their money. And, Mark, you were even pointing out that this past year was 2009, where Americans have paid off record levels of debt.
Yeah, well, yeah, the banking crisis has basically made people tighten their belt. They're eating out less. They're spending less at the grocery store. They're not buying the new cars that they don't need, except for the cash for clunkers thing, when basically the government was helping to give cars away at lower than wholesale prices. They're spending less on less wasteful stuff.
So let's go to the phones and the fun to our alarmist co-host, Sam. Oh, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Sam.
So I heard the story, and I heard what Frank said, and I would tend to agree with it, with some of the things that he brought up as well. I think you guys need to take a bigger picture in mind here. And while I was home in Texas, I took the time to interview a few folks out there. And one of them was a cattle farmer who owns Strub's Ranch. They do the Wagyu beef that's, you know, $50 or $100 a pound that's marbled with fat that melts like butter and sells in the real high-end restaurants and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they used to ship a lot of their beef over to Japan, where it's incredibly popular, but the regulations because of the mad cow disease put a stop to that, so it closed that market to them. They have seen in the last year their business drop off by 40%.
Yeah, I think Americans are eating a lot less beef right now, too. I think
especially beef is $50 a pound.
Right. Well, certainly. Now, but the same thing has happened across the industry, and this is one of the things that she told me in the middle of this interview. You guys are getting the scoop. She said there's expected to be a food shortage next year because right now prices are so low that, you know, they're sitting on 500,000 pounds of beef that's in the deep freeze that they have at least $2,200 a head in just feed costs because of the ethanol thing. Corn prices went from 4 to 6 to 8, and I think are you guys still there?
Yeah, listening.
Okay, my phone made a weird noise, sorry. But they've seen them go way up, and now they've come back down a little bit, but they have 2,200 invested in each head of cattle, and the market will only give them, even at the prime beef rate,
$1,500
a pound.
Yeah, I mean, and prime beef isn't generally frozen, so.
So they're in over their heads.
They are, and, you know, they said that this is the same across the industry. They're mostly cattle farmers, but the agriculture business, the grains and so forth, are kind of in the same way. They also told me that...
Well, I can tell you, before you go on, Sam, I mean, there are certainly... Before you go on, there is certainly the chance that some people are going to go out of business. And, I mean, that's just because a variety of factors, just because, the economics are kind of tough, and the government is inflating the money supply, and there's all kinds of factors that have been thrown out of whack. But there's no shortage of stray cats out there. I think we'll be all right.
Well, no, that's true to some extent, but what's happening right now is that sort of collapse of farming. There are a lot of people that this lady told me about who had just sort of pulled up stakes and gotten out of the business because they couldn't turn a profit at it. I could go up to what's called the sale barn where they auction off animals, and I can buy a calf for $7. And, $7 for a live baby calf.
It's cheap,
and
cheap,
that's because
cheap.
Because of the cost to feed it for the next 2 years to get it to full size where you can slaughter it and make a profit is $2,000. Now, what's the market rate right now? $1,500 for the $2,000 that you've invested in feed.
That
is going to destroy the supply of beef and cause a huge shortage. And she also mentioned, the slaughterhouses are... They're able to buffer the prices a little bit, but they're usually the larger corporate conglomerates that run them, and they're able to kind of set the per head price and control that to some extent, and they're able to do that to their benefit and to the farmer's detriment.
Now, I've heard that the dairy farmers have had a crappy year too, and that basically anybody who's in the dairy business has lost business or lost money this year too. I've heard all these things, Sam, but all we're saying here is that it's going to drive up the price of food, and that it's probably a good idea for you to have a certain a few weeks, if not a couple of months, worth of food saved at your house, just because that's a good idea in general. That's all we're claiming here is that it sounds like there might be the bears might be being too bearish,
Yeah. Now, let me tell you about Pilgrim's Pride Chicken. They're one of the largest chicken processing plants in the U.S. They're kind of like a Tyson's Chicken or forget who the other one is. Now, they expanded as the banks were encouraging them to. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the banks won't touch the farming industry. Because there's just no way to make money in it right now. And they went bankrupt. And while I was down there, I went to talk to the company, but they had just changed over ownership the day before to a company that bought them out from New Zealand. So when we hear about this flood, this tidal wave of money coming back into the United States to buy up anything you can, I think this is an example of that. And, if prices do skyrocket and inflation, which the real inflation rate was like 7.1% last month, now it's 8%. Next year it's expected to be 14%. That's going to further put pressure on the feed prices and on the stock prices, and farmers are going to have a real tough time making ends meet, and that New Zealand company could very well decide they want that production brought back to their country or who knows what, but it could be the scenario that Frank
sounds expensive.
About.
It sounds expensive to ship food from the United States to New Zealand when you can. I mean, New Zealand isn't exactly barren of agricultural land. I mean, it's by and large an agricultural country. They've got a couple of good sized cities, but their good sized cities don't hold a candle to ours.
Sure. There's no telling what they're going to do with the food, but you guys are playing it as though it's, the small farmer on the corner is not going to send his chicken off to China when there are people starving right here in the U.S. Well, yes, he is, because all of those little independent farmers that are around the area that my family farm is in have little signs out front that say Pilgrim's Pride Farm.
Yeah.
And they have to... They sign a contract for 10 years, and the Pilgrim's Pride forces them to adopt new technologies and new housing standards and, make sure that they're delivering a good,
very
clean
nice
product
chicken.
That they want. Yeah.
Well, here in New England, it's big to buy local. I mean, it's everywhere in Maine and Vermont, here in New Hampshire. I don't really see that it's going to go away here, in, at least in this region, anytime soon.
Oh, no, no. It's going to get bigger, but it's going to cause a lot of problems as that market realigns itself.
There are definitely likely problems coming to America. I just don't know if I believe anybody's going to be starving in the streets. Thanks, Sam, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, No Legislation Without Representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizeDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizeDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizeDC.org.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Are you waking up at night for bathroom trips? I'm Jonathan Greenhut, president of New Vitality. This year, we sent out thousands of free bottles of Beta Prostate, the natural supplement for men. But some of you still haven't called for your free bottle. As we go into the new year, make the resolution to support your prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. This free offer is for a limited time, and once it's gone, it's gone. Start the year right. Dial 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Dial 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. Joining you tonight, it's Ian here.
And Luther.
and Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you all the features for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. Those features do include our updates. You get signed up, we'll keep you in the loop. Whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live, just go to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com. And we've been talking about this alleged food shortage that is supposedly to come about here in the early portion of 2010. I think it's a little blown out of proportion, but on the same, on the other side of the coin, it's not necessarily a bad idea to have some stuff stocked up. And one of those things you might want to stock up on is Manchester Brewing. It's beer made from genuine Concord pond water. They don't get the stuff from the sewers in Jersey like some of their beers they could mention. ManchesterBrewing.com. And that's actually not a bad thing to have when it comes to hard economic times, not only because you can drown your sorrows, but
beer is an excellent commodity to trade with which to trade.
Any alcoholic drinks.
Especially Manchester Brew.
It's some it's a tasty beverage. Adult beverage. We continue with your phone calls here at 800-259-9231. Got a different kind of food-related story coming up. Has nothing to do with a shortage. It's just ludicrous. We'll get to that here in a moment. Scott, though, is on the line in Winnipeg. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, whoever's writing those Manchester Brewing commercials is brilliant.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I had a question for Mark, actually, about after he got out of jail. And what I'm wondering is, because we hear so many stories about people coming out of jail and just getting back into their old lifestyle and whatnot, but he is a success story. So I'm wondering, how did he get, walking out the door to, working at the radio station, doing the sales, and then getting to where he is now without, getting back into trouble?
I was in prison for 9 years, so I had a lot of time to sort of grow up and think about things and stuff like that. And I saw a lot of guys go and even some come back, even though it was a first-time offender location that I was. Some of them would end up coming back on, probation violations and things like that. And the thing that I noticed was that sort of, to a large extent, people kind of, the inmates kind of considered getting out of jail the finish line. And I realized that was a mistake relatively early on, and that getting out of jail was the starting point, not the finish line, mm-hmm. and that somehow that, things were going to be good once they got free. And I don't see why they necessarily thought that, but many of them had drug habits. I didn't really have one. I did some cocaine, but I never considered myself a cocaine addict, and it doesn't draw me in that fashion. And I'm sure that was tough for a lot of them to deal with. And I didn't really run with a gang or anything like that. I honestly made some bad choices, ended up in a place where I wish I hadn't have been, and didn't essentially tell on my friend whom, really I wish I had, because it probably wouldn't have caused me the problems that it did. I believe that the police were willing to work with me. Maybe not. I don't know. But, I read some books, and, there were some spiritual books, some financial books, and I felt that I learned some things. One of them was Charles Givens, who later got sued, by the way, for some of his advice. But more wealth without risk. I realized that opening your own business was probably a good way to make money, if for no other reason than you could hide, not necessarily even hide, but you had a lot more tax write-offs with your own business than anything else. And he pointed out that taxes were the third largest expense that you'd spend in your life. The first being housing, and second being cars, I think. Maybe taxes were second and cars were third. But anyway, he made a distinction there, and learned some things from there, decided I was going to work for myself relatively early on. I started getting, after I'd been in quite a few years, missed a few opportunities to get out from a legal standpoint, I started to get kind of bitter. And then I found a book called Free on the Inside, I think it was, and it was sort of a Zen book that taught me that I was as free as I decided I wanted to be, and that nobody did anything to me personally, that everybody did the things that they did in life in order to make themselves feel better. And that allowed me a lot of area for forgiveness. If you consider that, nobody is out to get you, that really what it's all about is them and everything that they do, whether it's a revenge tactic or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, they're doing in order to make themselves feel better, then, you know, it makes it a little easier that nothing's really personal in life. It makes it a little easier to do, you know, forgive people. And forgiveness is really best for the person doing the forgiving.
I agree with that.
The person being forgiven, they probably don't even know it. So
they may not even care.
Yeah, I was able to let go of a lot of bitterness at that point. And I think that traps a whole bunch of people that have been, you know, get locked up in like the 5, 6, 7, 8 year range. That's about the time that starts occurring.
Well, it's easy to be mad at somebody.
Yeah,
you've been locked
it's
up.
Easy to blame people. And you know, I mean, the prison's full of blamers and people that blame other people and haven't learned, you know, much in life lesson. Don't take control in their own lives. And that's really what I learned is that I'm in charge of me and nobody else is in charge of me. And if I don't take care of me, nobody else is going to. And the best way to take care of me is to, you know, work hard and take advantage of the free market as it is in the United States, the freest market around, at least in the immediate vicinity. So,
I was just going to ask, so when you decided that you were going to go for the radio gig, was it hard to get into it, or the first job, like, oh, you're in jail for 9 years, you know? What was that like?
Well, another thing I decided is that the system itself is pretty inefficient. That there isn't a big computer in the sky that tells people whether or not you've been locked up.
Sure.
And I decided that it would, you know, not be in my best interest to just go informing people. Now, most applications have some silly thing like, have you been convicted of a felony in the last 5 years or something like that. I got out after being locked up for 9 years. I hadn't been convicted of a felony in the last 5 years. So I was able to truthfully answer that question on a couple of occasions. But I worked for my, you know, I worked for my uncle and doing, you know, fixing up some apartments and stuff like that he had. Then I worked at waiting tables. I even worked at Outback for a little while. I then started at a fitness place because, well, you know, what do convicts know? I know how to work out. And, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I had a good time working there. And, you know, I got to do something I enjoyed, which was working out. And one of the things, you know, they would do is they do these specials. I kind of went in there expecting to help people work out and that kind of thing. Found out I had a propensity, an ability to be able to give, you know, to sell people memberships, to help them in their fitness regimen by getting them a gym membership. And so I, you know, ended up doing that. And by and large, that's what they'd send me in to do. And a man named Big Jim Davis came in one day with deep, dulcet tones. And he slapped down with the coupons that we had. And we talked for a while. And he said he liked my style. And he wanted me to come into the radio stations and do an interview with his sales manager, which means I was already hired at that point.
We can bring you back here if you want to continue in your line of questioning, Scott. Moments in moments, 800-259-9231. Mark's history post-prison. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything to control the airwaves. 800-259-9231.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever you want. Toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. And tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Luther.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you all the features for free, so enjoy those on us, including archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, they're right there on the front page of the website. And now we've brought back the dial-up podcast. So
what happened with that?
Well, I got rid of the dial-up archive. We got rid of the dial-up podcast a couple years ago, and
okay.
We kept the dial-up archives. Just you'd have to go to the front page of the website, click and download anytime you wanted to get the dial-up version of the show. Low bandwidth for people with slow connections and things like that. And then recently it was decided that because we have a limited amount of space on our podcast host. I consulted with a couple people before I did it, but because we have a limited amount of storage space on our podcast host and the dial-up archives were getting 1/100th of the downloads of our regular podcast, it just didn't seem that they were justified. It was justified having them there anymore, so we got rid of the dial-up archives at that point and expanded the regular archives into that space. So we took the regular archives from 32 kilobits per second up to 48 kilobits per second.
Was anybody complaining about the quality of the archives at 32 kilobits per second?
No, no one was complaining. No one was complaining. But as far as the podcast industry goes, ours were on the low side.
Okay.
Now we have a longer podcast, and we have a two-hour show every night, six nights a week. It's 3 hours on the radio, but once you take the commercial breaks and the news breaks out, it comes down to about 2 hours, pretty much almost on the dot. But that's a lot longer than your average podcast. I mean, most podcasts run from, what, 15 minutes to an hour max?
Some of them are even shorter than that.
Yeah. So
I think they've gotten longer as time has gone by. I mean, early in the podcasting era, you had like Paris Hilton doing her 3-minute podcast or something like that whenever she felt like it.
Well, it just depends. There are different podcasts that have different lengths, but ours is has to be one of the most consistently long podcasts out there in the whole podcasting world. So to some extent, we can get away with being at a lower quality level, but many other podcasts are distributing at very, very high quality audio levels. So we're a little more competitive in that area now with our 48 kilobit per second regular downloads. But it also meant that the dial-up podcasts went away, or the dial-up archives went away. And I had thought that, well, you know, if you have a dial-up connection, you can just leave it on overnight, and then you can still get the regular version of the show. But what one of the people who emailed to complain pointed out...
I didn't notice anybody really complaining. They were kind of, you know, pleading their case more than anything. I mean, they were kind about it.
Okay, they were very nice about it, but they didn't like the fact that the dial-up archives...
Nobody likes change they didn't think about.
Sure. So one of the points that he made was he's on a satellite connection, and apparently on some of those satellite internet connections, they meter the bandwidth that you get. And I'm so used to broadband, or dial-up is also unlimited. I'm so used to unlimited internet that I didn't even think about that. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty great point, that essentially this guy gets 200 bucks or 200 megs. It was either per day. I think it might have been per day. Anyway, he gets a very small amount of download bandwidth, mm-hmm. and essentially our podcast, one episode of it, because it is so long, became 25% of his download limit.
Mm.
So that was, for me, a pretty persuasive reason to put it back up, even though it's only servicing at most a couple dozen of our listeners. I did bring it back, and I brought it back in podcast form as well. So now you don't have to click every time you want to download something, you can just plug the dial-up podcast into your podcast client, and you can use
Free that. Talk Live, we care about our listeners.
Doing our best here, okay? We're doing our best. 800-259-9231. By the way, you can find the dial-up podcast right there in our archive column, front page of freetalklive.com, and the left-hand side of the page. So we continue here. Scott dropped off the line in Winnipeg. He was asking you about your experiences after you gotten out of jail out of prison. You were there for 9 years, accused of something that you really didn't do. But nonetheless, you got out and you made a better life for yourself.
You know, Ian, I hate it when I understand what you do when you say it that way. But I have always tried to take responsibility, and I feel that for what I did, and although
you didn't do what they accused you of doing.
Indeed, I went to prison for murder and didn't kill anyone.
So you don't want to get that out there that make people think you did that when you didn't do it.
Well, you know, I feel I made some mistakes along the way.
You did. I mean, you were in the wrong place.
And you know, like, I made some really bad choices that harmed people, and I don't...
No doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, and so I try not to shirk that particular responsibility.
I don't think saying you didn't kill somebody is shirking responsibility.
I see your point. Anyway, there's the
So you were working at the gym,
yeah.
Selling gym memberships. Big Jim Davis comes in from the radio station and essentially prospected you for his sales team.
Yeah, he did, and it was great. I went to work.
He headhunted you, as they call it.
Well, he's very much a stickler about not headhunting from other radio stations. However, apparently he doesn't have the same feeling about
other salesmen anywhere else.
Salesmen at gyms. In that particular instance, I went to work, for him relatively shortly thereafter, and did the radio thing, and I realized that I wanted to sell radio for the rest of my life. I really enjoyed the career, and I didn't go into radio like you did to be on the air. I was a salesman, and at some point or another, you actually asked me to handle the phones and on Free Talk Live, and you know, it was a small show, and it's not like we were getting paid or anything like that. So I said, sure, I'll handle the phones for you on a Sunday night in Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah. And then we went weeknights, and the rest is history.
It's true, but I one interesting little thing here is, you know, I said I wanted to do radio sales all my life, and I was kind of a ditto head back in, the late 90s, early aughts. And, you know, what I said was my career goal was to sell nationally syndicated radio for Rush Limbaugh.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You can put that there on the wiki bio page.
What if you never make it there? I mean, what if you never achieve that goal?
I have no intention of doing that. I'm selling nationally syndicated, I'm selling my own nationally syndicated show. My life right now is better than I ever imagined it.
Oh. You're welcome. 800-259-9231.
Hate you. Sometimes I cry at night. I hate you so much.
Okay, so let's go into a little bit of a different area here.
Let's not forget who runs this damn show. I bring the money in. I am the fuel that...
1-800-259-9231.
Denied.
I muted his mic in case you couldn't tell, since he was talking about who runs the show. All right, so the story is from Stephen Kinsella, who is an intellectual property, a patent attorney, who apparently hates his job because he is against intellectual property. And who better to talk about intellectual property than somebody who's involved in it on a daily basis for their career? In fact, Stephen Kinsella has written very lengthy papers on intellectual property and why it's a bad idea. And they're very lengthy, and we're certainly not going to have time to share any of that with you. But what he's talking about in this story over at Mises.org is trademark. And he points out that a lot of people agree that copyrights and patents are evil and should be abolished, and those of many of us who are in the liberty movement. But what about other forms of IP, such as trademark? He points out that one problem is that IP isn't really property at all. It's just an umbrella term linking distinct, mostly artificial, positive rights created by the legislature out of thin air. Legally recognized rights arising from some type of intellectual creativity or that are otherwise related to ideas. He points out that the patent gives a monopoly to a way of using or configuration of practical, useful devices, that is, inventions, while copyright gives a monopoly to certain uses of original creative patterns of information, like novels or paintings or something like that, while trademark protects a set of rights clustered around one's reputation, and trade secret is more like a type of contractual right to keep people from revealing secret information. He says, from what I've seen, it's clear that to most activist opponents of IP that copyright and patents are terrible. But it's not so clear what's wrong with other types of IP, such as trade secrets and trademark. What about these and other rights, such as various other trademark-related rights? And he goes on to bring up a very interesting point about trademark and how it is that it actually is a really bad idea. And it doesn't seem like it. It seems like, well, it's my logo, you know, that's my business name, and... We'll get into it
here. You better have a real good argument.
Yeah. We'll get into it here in a little bit. 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-583-0918. 1-800-583-0918. Call now. 1-800-583-0918. 1-800-583-0918.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 800-259-9231, even in these remaining moments, maybe enough time for your call if you make it right now. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Luther.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com, and all the features there are completely free. If you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, go to promote.freetalklive.com and get a whole list of things you can do to help get Free Talk Live onto more radio stations and into more people's ears around the world via the internet over at promote.freetalklive.com. Now, from creating new and old media to political action to civil disobedience and market-based activism, you'll find more pro-freedom activism than you might have ever imagined possible when you move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Learn more at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. And we're talking right now about a topic that is one that is a very controversial discussion amongst liberty-minded people. It's something that will really create some polar opposites because, and we've gotten into really detailed conversations about things like copyright and patents on this show. And I don't know, Luther.
Probably more detailed than we ever should.
Luther, you're relatively new to the program, so I don't think you've been here for any of these intellectual property conversations. I happen to know you're a musician,
yep.
So I don't know how you feel as a musician about copyright. It tends to be that musicians and artists and folks in the creative realm like that are for things like copyright.
I'm not.
You are not?
No.
Okay, over that.
Okay. I'm more a fan of the folk traditions when, you know, songs were just songs. Nobody owned a song. I mean, I can get a song stuck in my head. Does that mean I don't own that part of my brain just because
it's
copyrighted?
Rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, pay the ASCAP fees on that one. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, but we don't want to really get into copyright tonight, because...
And also, besides, I always made a lot more money on merchandise than I ever did on my songs.
On the songs.
So.
Well, it tends to be the mostly the musicians that have really, really made it and aren't doing anything anymore. You know, Bono's busy running around the world trying to institute socialism.
Yeah,
it's for the starving children.
Right, the starving children.
They're the ones that want copyright.
Right,
what you're
that's right. And you know, it's the has-beens that want the copyright,
yeah.
More or less. And you know, what can you say to that? I understand that many musicians who are coming up sort of, imagine themselves in that role of has-been and would like to, you know, sit around and do nothing and make money on their songs. And,
I guess I can understand a royalty, like if you record a song and that CD sells somewhere down the road, and hey, I did that, you know, I was part of that, don't I get a cut? I guess I can understand that, but
I think that, I don't know, I mean, you know, I think that the marketplace, for one, if you look at movie stars and rock and rollers are really this country and this era's aristocracy. Do we want to create more of that?
Oh, I hate rock stars.
let's jump here into the discussion about trademark from Mises.org. Stephen Kinsella, who is an intellectual property attorney, actually, even though he's completely against intellectual property, he points out, and very intellectual guy, by the way, he's written lengthy papers on this topic, but he's talking in detail about trademark, and he points out that, in his view, the newfangled extensions of trademark law, rights against trademark dilution and cyber squatting, etc., cyber squatting being where you would speculatively purchase a domain name expecting that it may become valuable someday to a company that maybe hadn't thought to purchase that domain name prior to you purchasing it, mm-hmm. and then you essentially just sit on it until that company comes calling someday saying, hey, we'd like to buy that from you, then you can just charge them whatever you want. Apparently that's illegal or something like that now in this country. Anyway, he says, obviously that's invalid. Further, federal trademark law is problematic since it's not authorized by the Constitution. He points out that copyright and patents are, but not trademarks. Trademark relies on the Interstate Commerce Clause, and thus the federal trademark law only covers trademark connected to interstate commerce and doesn't preempt state law, so that state trademark law still governs many intrastate situations. But even if federal trademark law were abolished, as well as modern extensions such as rights against trademark dilution, even common law trademark is problematic for three primary reasons. First, it is enforced by the state, which gets everything wrong. Second, see the first, the test of consumer confusion is usually applied ridiculously, treating consumers like indiscriminating idiots. Third, and worst of all, the right at issue is the right of the defrauded consumer, not of the competitor. And I think this is definitely the most interesting point he makes. And that is trademark law ought to be reformed, if you're going to keep it around, that it ought to be reformed by abolishing the right of the trademark owners to sue the infringers directly, except perhaps as a proxy for customers when consent can be presumed approved. And treating this as a case of the customer's right to sue a vendor who defrauds him as to the nature of the good purchased. Some might argue this is only a minor change, but it's not. Such a change would make it clear that knockoffs are usually not a violation of anyone's rights. The buyer of a $10 Rolex is almost never defrauded. He knows exactly what he's getting. Yet by giving an enforceable trademark to the user of a mark, he can sue knockoff companies even though their customers aren't being defrauded and in fact are perfectly happy to buy the knockoff products. So do you see what he's saying there? Yeah. Instead of one company being able to just go and knock his competitors out that might be making similar products, or you know, the Oakley company selling Chinese glasses, trying to sue them out of business, if somebody feels they've been defrauded, they could go against one of their customers, could go against that company, because, well, in the free marketplace, in the libertopia that many of us might envision, fraud is still prohibited. It's still a crime to engage in acts of fraud.
Right. It's wrong to sell someone a Rolex at some price that is commensurate as a Rolex if they believe it's a Rolex. Another thing entirely if some guy on the street comes up to you and says, hey, want to buy this watch? It's great. I got Rolexes, Bulova's, you know, whatever kind of watches here. $10 a piece. Come on. You think you're buying a Rolex? Really? And if you do think you're buying a Rolex, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for buying some stolen merchandise.
Now, IP proponents, says Kinsella, often assume trademark law is unproblematic and then try to lump types of IP together so that they stand or fall together. For example, it could be argued that if you are for reputation, which I am, then you must be for trademark, and if you're for trademark, you must be for intellectual property, and thus you cannot be opposed to IP in principle, so you can't oppose copyright and patent. Now, one fallacy of this argument is that it relies on the positive law conceptual grouping of different areas of artificial legislated law to make its point, but there's no reason one has to favor the validity of copyright or patent law, even if one supported trademark law. Each has different defects and a different nature. The other fallacy is the view at work here that there is no such thing as reputation or even identity absent trademark law, but that's incorrect. Of course, people and firms can have reputations even if trademark law is non-existent. All that's required is people be able to identify other people and firms and communicate. Pro-trademark arguments often implicitly assume this isn't possible, absent state-enforced trademark law, which is ridiculous. For example, how can there be fraud if the vendor is free to call himself whatever he wants? What if Joe Schmo sets up a knockoff McDonald's restaurant? Well, it is McDonald's. That's what it calls itself.
McArnold's.
And the real McDonald's can't stop it without trademark rights. So why is that fraud? Well, because the consumer is deceived as to the nature of the goods that he's buying. And the other thing to realize is that consumers aren't stupid.
You know what's funny is McDonald is one of the I think the top 50 last names in the United States, or at least was in the relatively recent past. Yeah. So if my last name is McDonald, and I can't open a restaurant called McDonald's.
Yeah,
I've
seen a Denny's diner that's not associated with Denny's at all.
Interesting.
Yeah,
you could. I don't know. I guess it would just depend on whether Denny's wanted to pick you off or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you want to go into that legal battle with McDonald's or whomever?
No. Who would?
Yeah.
The other thing to realize is consumers aren't stupid. They can spot a knockoff easily. And the trademark frauds are usually going to be marginal lowlife types who would never compete with a legitimate business anyway. Certainly not in that open kind of fashion as to open a competing McDonald's right across the street, the kind of company that makes knockoff Rolexes, which doesn't fool its customers. Consider, you've got a successful burger joint, let's call it Tommy's. Now, suppose they have no trademark and another Tommy's pops up. So if you want the original Tommy's, where do you go? You go to the original Tommy's, which just calls itself the original Tommy's. A similar phenomenon is happening online in places like Twitter, where some of the well-known people and celebrities' names are already taken, like Dvorak, who's a famous computer guy, John Dvorak. So, what does John Dvorak do? Well, he doesn't go and sue the person for taking their name or throw a hissy fit over it. He just uses the name The Real Dvorak. End of problem. No anti-Twitter squatting law is necessary. So if some other Tommy's tries to deceive customers into thinking it's owned by the same guy that owns the original Tommy's, then they're eventually going to get sued or have only marginal customers as people figure out that this new place is run by seedy liars. And this is something that we can easily handle in today's day and age with the internet and information passing.
Yeah, he makes some good points.
All right, we're out of time. It's been Ian here with you.
It's over.
And Luther, sorry, I was listening to you.
We will return tomorrow night for the live Saturday edition. Join us then and online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.